Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome, welcome, dear listener, to the third episode in season 5 of the Guitar Nerds podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Matt Knight.
Hello, Mr. Joe.
Hello, Mr. Matt. Hello, dear listener. Welcome, welcome once again to another episode in season 5 of the Guitar Nerds podcast. This episode is titled... In fact, what did I call this episode? Oh, yes. New for NAMM 2024, part 2, dear listener. Part 2. It's the second part.
We're still sad. We're still sad we weren't there. I'm not on Instagram anymore, really, or social media. But the other night, I was like, oh, you know, I don't have the app on my phone. But I was like, I'm just going to... You know, just going to keep up, you know, got it, you know, it's part of the Guitar Nerds podcast. And I opened and it was just loads of friends taking lots of selfies, just having fun in California. And I was like, this is why I stopped looking at social media and just closed it down and proceeded to cry. We should have.
And we spoke about this last week, but it caught me off guard because it's the first time it's mattered in a good few years. I didn't expect anyone to really care about it again. Even like for me, when I'm like doing social media management for various like guitar and pedal companies, the last few years, I feel like I've barely had any extra work to do on NAMM week. But this time round, I was absolutely slammed. There was so much going on that I had to keep abreast of. And
I think
all I could see was like, you know, videos of Philip Carter and the, you know, the 60 Cycle Hum Boys hanging out and stuff. And I was like, God damn it. I wish that was me. I failed this year, Matty.
We missed the pizza party. You know, we missed the bowling party.
Yeah.
Do you know,
yeah.
it was interesting. I know we're going to talk a lot about sort of specific NAMM launches a bit later on in the episode, but there's a couple of things that stood out for me. One was, from what I saw, it was way busier than I thought it was going to be. It felt like, even watching it through YouTube videos, NAMM of days gone by, or at least my experience of NAMM, very busy, loads of people there, loads of engagement, quite a lot of brands. Although I saw less from, and I don't know whether they were there, but less from the kind of other boutique pedal brands like JHS,
right,
or I think Walrus were there, but not too much. Earthquaker,
from,
I don't know.
Yeah, less Earthquaker.
From those guys.
No, I agree. It was... But, carry on.
No, I was going to say, but the crazy thing was, is people have gone all out on the booths this year. Whereas I think last year, and people were sort of tiptoeing back into it and spending conservative. And then this year it's like Celestian are like, now we're 100 years old, we're gonna fly a double decker bus in. So they had an entire vintage Routemaster London double decker bus with like Celestian branding on it. I'm like, wow. it was like people went all out, and we were talking just before the podcast started, Joe, you hadn't realized that Neural DSP had spent all of their money on the booth on just their massive soon sort of caption that they tend to put.
For anyone who hasn't seen that, explain what Neural DSP did.
So Neural DSP, if you're unfamiliar with the software company, you've probably been living under a rock. But effectively, you know, really, really popular software company and makers of the Quad Cortex, possibly the most popular multi effects at the moment. Whenever they launch something new, or before they launch something new, they just have the kind of neural DSP font with the kind of little squiggle logo that just says soon. And then that's it. And then there's like a, you know, like a darkened or blurred image. They just printed that in like 8 foot high letters and about 20 foot wide and just put that in the space where their booth was going to be.
And they didn't have any people there. It was not manned.
That was it.
That's so ridiculous. I love it. That's so ballsy.
I can't even think what would be coming soon. Like, everyone knows it's, I just think it's an amazing marketing thing.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah, possibly. They literally just put out a new plugin. They put out the Morgan amplifier plugin.
Yeah, and I know they've announced like Quad Cortex Control, so the desktop editor. That's been a long time coming. You know, Rabi has mentioned on a couple of, I think he mentioned in Dan Anderson's video that, you know, the plugin thing is coming.
Yeah.
So I guess they were just like, do we need to show anything? I mean, they're not going to make Quad Cortex 2, are they?
Like a little HX stomp. Like that would be good. I'll take that. A neural DSP stomp.
Yeah, maybe. But I just thought it was interesting. Loads of brands doing loads of stuff. And then the more I looked at it, the sadder I got. So I stopped looking at it and I kept dipping my toe back in. But it would have been nice for me as well to see loads of, you know, our friends and family, the other side of the pond that we've got to know for many years. So next year, regardless of whatever, I think we definitely need to plan ahead and be there.
Absolutely. Well, we actually, you know what, like even within the Guitar Nerds community, I saw some posts by and received a lovely personal message from Jeffrey Wex, longtime listener, who hooked up not only with Guitar Nerds guest host Philip Carter, but also Guitar Nerds microphone provider and friend of the podcast Dan Pilver as well at various points in his NAMM adventure. And it's so lovely to see, and what he was talking about in the message that he sent me is it's amazing how Guitar Nerds has kind of driven this really lovely community, I guess, over the last 11 years that we've been doing this, and that now, you know, at NAMM events, some of our listeners are able to get together as friends who have been brought together through listening to us waffle all this time. I'm not blowing our own trumpet for that, dear listener. There are plenty of guitar communities, but I do think you are especially lovely, dear listener. It's such a wonderful, I won't get too soppy, but it's such a wonderful community. You're all such lovely people. And to see you all like actually get to physically meet up, and NAMM is such a wonderful conduit for that sort of thing. It was very nice to see. So, and also made my FOMO even worse than it already was.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's better just hanging out with people that didn't go.
Exactly.
But anyway,
exactly.
That's where we are.
And I tell you what, like the other Ashdown this year, they put some real effort in. So on the Ashdown stand, people artists that they had Shavo from System of a Down. They had Pete Griffin, not Peter Griffin from Family Guy. Pete Griffin, the incredible sort of session bass player who does an awful lot of stuff for Fender, does a lot of their videos as well. He's fantastic, really great blues player. He plays Ashdown amps and has done for a long time. And he was there. He did a performance on the stand, and also they did like a book signing with Geezer Butler. As well for his new book, Into the Void, which I made sure I got a signed copy of, you know, dedicated to me, which was good. Also James Lomenzo. They've just produced their new James Lomenzo Mega Drive overdrive pedal for his for him in Megadeth now. So
there's
a pretty decent amount of A-list bassists at the Ashdown stand, and they kept sending me videos. And of course, because they were doing signings of all these people, it was just queues. They were, you know, doing that thing where they film on their phone, like going down the queue. And I was like, my goodness, like, I can't remember. Ashdown haven't had a big NAMM since I've worked for the company. And it just took me totally by surprise how up for it everyone was. And Dan, Dan Gooday, who's the son of the founder, Mark Gooday, who Dan essentially drives the company now. He was messaging me being like, the worst mistake he made was just going with him and his dad to do the whole stand.
Oh yeah, of course. Just those two.
And like, I was bitching at him, like, whilst he was there. I was away for the weekend for my girlfriend's birthday, but every now and again I was messaging being like, where are the posts? I'd asked him to do like some specific posts and things like that and make sure he had content going out. And I couldn't see it going out. And I'm messaging being like, come on, Dan, what are you doing? where is it all? And it's just because he was worked off of his feet. He had to be on that stand from opening till close every single day. And it was totally filled with people for signings all of that time that they were having to police and do the queues with. And then got every single YouTuber and shop turning up with a camera and getting you to shout loudly about your new releases. And of course, Ashdown brought out like 3 new heads, 8 new cabinets and 5 new pedals. So they had just constantly making videos for all those shops and brands, and I think they barely slept. I think they lived on that stand.
Yeah. No, it's one of those things as well, I find with NAMM, and I guess we'll move on shortly, is just that actually so much stuff comes out and so much stuff seems to have happened this year that loads of it you don't really get until later on. Like, you don't really see until later on. And it looked like there was loads of new brands there this year and some announcements, like, you know, not we too many things, I guess, we could talk about on the pod, but things like Full Toner back through Jackson Audio was a big thing. Someone made a buffer pedal that's got a Tamagotchi built into it. you know, there was just loads of stuff, and we'll go into a bit more detail, but it seems to be that the famous guitar player of the show was Matteo Mancuso, which is, he's everywhere at the moment. Everyone just seemed to want to see him play somewhere at NAMM. But it'll be interesting to see what happens over the next few months, because some of this stuff, as we know, effectively doesn't happen for ages.
No.
So you see some stuff and then it never appears again.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we will get on to talking about some fresh NAMM things, but in a slight change of order moving forward, dear listener, we're going to move right along and talk about our show and tell, our demo of the week, our product that we're taking a look at. And as requested by you, Matt, on the last podcast, we're going to talk about the Universal Audio Lion. If you're watching on YouTube, dear listener, dear viewer, that is the lion that I'm holding up. Super cool. Matt, you called it last week when we were talking about it, you called it an overdrive pedal because that's how you wanted to use it. Because whilst this is very much an amp in the box, amp sim, it's got, it's IR loaded, it's got cab sims on there, it's got all that versatility. You also, via these very handy little switches, have the ability to shut down virtually all of that except for the EQ and the drive and use it functionally as a Marshall-esque voiced overdrive straight into the front of your amplifier.
I realize that becomes an expensive overdrive pedal at that point.
It is stereo, and I think it's a stereo overdrive for, what did we say this was, 349, 398 British pounds.
399 British pounds.
399 British pounds. Well, there we go. I guess that is a chunk. So yes, the other features are fantastic. I really love this pedal. I really like, we were talking a lot about, you know, just Matt and I were talking off podcast, dear listener, about how good the IR2 is, the Boss IR2, just for being such a versatile unit. Like, once you've got that, you've got every single sound you could possibly want, and it's going to do a whole bunch of, you know, additional things as well. Just, you know, you can have it with cab sims, without, you can use it in so many different ways. And I appreciate that something like the Lion isn't as versatile, but I loved how quick, easy, and straightforward it was to dial in several fantastic Marshall sounds, and how hands-on it is by just having these, you know, simple switches and rotary controls. I found it really easy to be like, well, I want to sound like, I want like that that relatively clean but edge of breakup like vintage Marshall sound with all the gain down low. And I found it really easy to get a bit more of a Van Halen-y sort of squash, that weird boxy mids thing that Marshalls do, with just sort of a few switches. So
I think it's very good. I think that's the thing, isn't it? You know, a lot of people, I guess before we go into the demo, people would say, you know, why that over an IR2, for example?
Yeah.
Obviously, there's a cost difference, but maybe why over that over an Iridium? Or, and I think it's just very specific. You know, the reason they make the Woody, the reason they make the Ruby, the reason they make the Dream 65 is it's like, you're buying that because that's the sound you want. That's the sound you need. You know, if you think about that just before Christmas, I think it was, where the Edge was saying, for this run of shows in the Sphere in Las Vegas, he's like, he switched to UA Rubies, you know, he switched to using those live. He doesn't need the amps, you know, but he wouldn't plug into a line because his sound is the Vox sound. So I think if you're doing something that specifically requires that, and again, UA are probably going down that studio tool route, and it's like, you're in the studio, it's like, right, I want a Marshall. You're not going to crank one up. You haven't got one. Like, this is going to do the job, where IR2, I think, is probably more of a utility product that's not a lot of money that you could stick on any pedal board. It's going to work for recording. It's going to be very versatile, but perhaps, you know, you could say a jack of all trades, you know, whereas the Lion is a Marshall and it captures all of that Marshall stuff.
I think that's a really good point. Like, I feel like in the studio, if you don't have the ability to have, you know, like a Plexi Marshall in a studio, then this is quite a nice thing to get to have as an alternative. And even though the IR2 does it, there's that sort of like, I don't know, like tangible, like, this is UA, this is a premium one thing. It's doing that one thing really well in a single box.
Yes.
I could be, whether there's actually anything in that or not, I could definitely be talked into that, into being like, well, if I can't have a Plexi, if I can't have a vintage AC30, it's okay, because I've got a UA version of it. And that's,
yeah. And I think that's what I always liked about the Origin Effects revival. You know, it was very much that kind of Fender thing in a box. And I think, I don't know, like you say, it feels a bit more tangible, feels a bit more real, feels a bit more like this is this thing.
Is that still on your board, the Revival drive?
It is. I think, not that I've looked at my board for about 6 weeks, because I'm still in the process of fixing this space behind me for anyone who can see me in a very boring room. But yeah, it's still on my board, still love it. And I guess in some ways it feels more real than perhaps something that feel has lots of different models in one. And I think perhaps for some people, maybe myself included, there's a level of not dismissing something, but like, oh, it's not as good as this because this only does one thing.
It's that. It's that's kind of what I was driving at. I don't know whether or not there's any actual fact to that, but it definitely makes me feel a bit more like I've dialed into this one specific thing if I have. And that can be like a pedal, an amp, a guitar, like whatever it is. I want the thing that does that specific one thing rather than something that does a bit of everything.
Yeah.
But it is very good. It is very good. So we'll play the demo anyway, dear listener, if you have a little listen. I was always, so the only thing going on here is the UA Lion. Of course, there's no reverb or anything on the UA Lion. Which I guess it doesn't, you know, there's no reason for it to have that. But certainly, I guess, as a, maybe I would have liked something like that on board. But that's just me. So the reverb is coming from the Isotope, their reverb plugin after the Lion. And I've got kind of like two rhythm guitars playing on the left and the right. One of them is running through the bass model, and one's running through the Brown model. One's sort of clean, boosted, and the other one's very driven, a little bit boxy with some really weird swelling low end. And then I've got a super duper like Marshall boxy lead line coming in towards the end. But I will say, like, I spent like no time dialing in those three different tones, like really just sort of like turn this, and then just had a sound that I loved and was great. It was very hands-on, very tactile. I feel like if I was writing a song in the studio and using this, it was very difficult to get a bad sound out of it. It sounded great all the time. I just feel like it was very easy to use and very songwriting productive if you're just going straight into your DAW.
But WYSIWYG. What you see is what you get.
Exactly. Anyway, here is the sample of the Universal Audio Lion. It was. That was the Universal Audio Lion, just a, like a handful of little different voicings. I really, really, really like it.
I think it sounds great. Again, just you wouldn't really, you know, once you sit in a mix, you wouldn't really know, would you?
I know, that's the problem. I think I might get the Vox one because I really love this, but I think in general, I don't like the Marshall amp sound.
Right,
and so I think maybe getting a Vox one would be more me, but just for I know this is not what it's intended for, but just sitting on the side of my desk for recording it, it's very, very good, and that's all I really want to sound like is a Vox AC30 personally. So you know, like I really love the Victory, the V7, their copper, which is great.
Yeah.
Well, I have a small desk and it takes up a lot of room. So actually the UA Ruby would be a great room.
The internal struggle of what to put on your desk for recording is is real. I think it's great now that we're getting so many products like this that you can even have like a small pedal board on the floor always plugged into your interface. You know, it's just always on and away you go. I really like that. I think the only downside is, Joe, it's just expensive for most people.
It is expensive, isn't it? It is expensive. It's expensive for me as well. I don't really know anyone at Universal Audio. So I can't even talk anyone into doing me a deal.
I feel that. Yeah, I think, cool product, though. Very cool product.
Very cool product.
And again, another great thing from UA and that sort of UA heritage. So no doubt, I'm sure. I don't know what other amps they could do from here.
No, I don't know. What have they done so far? They've done a Fender, they've done a Vox, they've done a Marshall. Are there other amps?
No, they've done, two Fenders.
Have they done a Mesa Boogie yet?
No, maybe a JC120. sound.
Yeah. That's it.
That's it. Just one sound.
No, they've got to get that classic distortion option on there.
so grim.
No,
I only ever use it for the clean, but then again, it's a really famous sound, could work. I guess we will see.
Anyway, so moving on from our little show and tell demo of the week, dear listener, let's move on to the main subject for this week's podcast, which is New for NAMM 2024 part 2. I said last week, I was like, oh, I hope I can get a part 2 out of this. And I have to admit, it was close. I know me and Matt just spent the first 10 minutes of the podcast talking about how busy NAMM was on the floor and how brands seemed to have done a really good job of going all out. But actually, I felt like big, exciting releases were a little few and far between. Guitar Nerds is sponsored by Stringjoy Guitar Strings, the world's first true guitar string custom shop.
The thing that I love most about Stringjoy is just their attention to detail, their dedication to making their strings the best in the world. And that's a labour-intensive task that they don't shy away from. Stringjoy are also innovative. They're always looking for new ways to make strings better. As guitar players, we've become so used to all the shortfalls of commercially available strings that we stopped even looking for them to be better, last longer, intonate well, easily. Stringjoy bring all of that to every pack of strings they make, and they're available almost as readily as any other generically made guitar string. Stringjoy strings are available at stringjoy.com and at 400 plus dealers across the globe. If your local store doesn't stock Stringjoy yet, ask them to.
Certainly, I don't think I've ever struggled to fill. So we have in our little document, dear listener, I leave seven lines open for news articles that I can add per podcast. And so we added seven last week, did them all. I've added seven this week, but I can't remember a NAM where we were ever looking at a list that we might finish. You know, we're always like, oh no, we haven't talked about this or this or this or this or this. And this year, I don't know.
Say that, and then we'll get to the end of this podcast being like, I mean, there's a couple of things that we didn't. I'm just going over a few more websites. Different places have different coverage. A couple of things that aren't on this list, Joe, but probably honorable mentions before we start. Sure we'll get around to them another week. But Reverend Billy Corgan, Drop Z.
Yeah, the Drop Z.
Or the Z1, which is quite cool. So the baritone version of the Corgan signature. Victory handmade amps, the Deputy as well, which is their 25 watt sort of super clean, mm-hmm. designed with Pete Honore, which I think is very cool. But yeah, also these sort of custom shop amps, these ones made by Martin Kidd himself, you know, the sort of design, which is very cool. What else was there? There's another Andy Timmons collaboration with Keeley. And then a few other sort of signature guitars from a few other manufacturers. But certainly, as I said, not a lot in the pedal realm, Joe. Pedals felt a little light.
I can't remember if I said it on the podcast last week or maybe I was saying it in a conversation to someone. And I was like, there haven't been that many, you know, big releases from the big brands, but don't worry, because there'll be 100 pedals that come out and some of them are going to be cool. And
in fact, actually,
they did not.
So using a sort of rather large UK based retailer whose coverage is always pretty good, a couple of things that actually, again, honorable mentions. MXR went heavy with Zach Wild this year. So you've got the 20th anniversary Wild Overdrive, his chorus, and then they've also reissued the Rotovibe, an absolutely amazing pedal and a big part of Zach Wild's early sound, and a signature Wild pedal. The Rotovibe, though, is £439, which is like crazy money. You could buy a second-hand Rotovibe for less than that.
Yeah.
But only two pages of pedals. I think it's about 30 launches.
And there were some anniversaries as well. Like there's the sparkly blue 45th anniversary Tube Screamer from Ibanez. Yeah,
and Vox did their Real McCoy original wah pedal. But yeah, to be honest, not a lot. I guess, Joe, we should maybe moving on to one thing that we did put on our little list, and we could start there, sort of segue into it nicely, is Game Changer Audio.
Yeah. I mean, this
literally changing the game.
they're always so brilliant, Game Changer Audio, and we speak about them every year at NAMM, from the very first one where they were downstairs with the brass instruments releasing their very first plus pedal. Always very positive about those guys. They're lovely guys. They are innovative and interesting, and whilst they don't make many pedals, they obviously spend the year in between their next release R&Ding and trying to think like, how can we reinvent stuff? And it's always cool, from, you know, the plus pedal to the plasma fuzz to the light reverb that they did. They're always thinking of something new, and I'm glad this one definitely seems slightly less, their pedals aren't gimmicky, but there's definitely an element of part of their pedal isn't the sound, it's the function, you know. I'm saying, you know, the reverb pedal that functions via light, a fuzz pedal that functions via an open joint where, you know, electrical signal passes,
yeah,
like a lightning bolt. You know, it's, there's always an element of that sort of gimmick. This is way more functional, and I think an interesting new way of doing things. It's the mod series of pedals, so modular pedals, not as I thought. When I saw that they were doing modular pedals, I messaged you and I was like, oh, come on, like, no one's done this before. I was thinking it was going to be like
modules.
Yes, like little, yeah, modules that you know. And I was like, god damn it, this is just, it never works. It's not going to work now, even by a company like Game Changer. But it's nothing like that. It's actually like Eurorack in pedal form.
Yeah, basically, yes. It's so these are totally, as well, they don't make it easy for themselves, and fair play, they totally different. It's not like they've got like a standard pedal enclosure and gone, we'll just put all the controls in that and away we go. You know, totally different, unique sort of shape and design, mm-hmm, here as well. It's very cool, very, very different. But effectively, yeah, it is like Eurorack, like proper modular patching in stuff for effects pedals. So you can use it like a standard guitar pedal. So they've got a reverb, a chorus, and a delay. You can just go in and out, stereo in and out. It's got different line. It's got line level and also Eurorack level as well, because it's three different levels. Standard foot switch. You got, like, you know, on the reverb is on and off and modulation on and off. But it's where it gets interesting is like the patch points on the front and the back. So you can effectively like MIDI clock it. So you can have like the modulation sort of sync to MIDI. You've got patch points on the front for things like dynamic and pitch. So I think I can see this really, again, part of the ever-growing popularity of Eurorack and people mixing pedals with Eurorack modules and being able to control certain elements remotely, because that also adds in, I guess, sort of one of the great things about pedals is having lots of controls that you can stop and play and turn a knob and do something and make a sound, and
yeah,
but you have to stop, whereas this allows you to actually add in motion remotely to their own pedals. You know, you could have one or two or three of these and kind of patch them in together, so, you know, one thing could control another. They track your pitch on your guitar as well, which is quite cool. They're saying each primary mode is partnered with a corresponding attenuverter that allows you to be precise when dialing in the amount of modulation and the direction of each effect independently. So a single loud strum dynamically and subtly nudges the second attenuverter in the other direction to produce sweet and gentle sweeping parameter shifts. So very much dynamic modulation, but you can totally customize it because it tracks the nuances in your playing. So each source can be applied to any of the four controls: level, decay, tone, and drive. So depending on how you play, you can actually change those elements of things like the level or whatever. It's, yeah, very, very cool. It's very game changer. I'd like to see better demos than the NAMM demos.
That's what we'll be waiting.
I'd like to have a go on them for sure. The only thing I think's ever done this, I was saying to you, Joe, earlier in the week, is the Mooga Fooga pedals, because every control had its own expression output and you could link them together, but they were very expensive. Obviously, they're now discontinued. I don't think I've ever seen anything quite like this, unless you go into something digital that's got MIDI that allows you to route lots of different parameters.
Yeah.
So this is very, very unique, I think. And it'll be very interesting to see how they build that into other things in the future.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know how they'll expand the line. Obviously, there are a few other effects for them to do, but these are the big ones, really, I guess,
yeah,
for this sort of line. I love that on their website, they give you examples of what you can do with patch cables in order to create different sounds. Did you see that?
I didn't, no, actually. I haven't seen their website. Just watched some of the demos.
Yeah, it's great. They've got like, so you can send the delay into self-oscillating feedback madness with loud notes and tame it by playing softly by patching the dynamics to the delay feedback, or send a on the reverb pedal, send a lead line through long reverb tails and roll it back on low rhythm parts by patching the pitch tracker into the reverb input level. And it gives you a bunch of different ideas of just simple things you can do to completely change the nature, the dynamics, and the, you know, just the functionality.
It's very, very cool.
Very cool indeed.
Because I think that's the thing as well. Being able to track, you know, like it says there, like the higher you play, the more reverb you would get. The lower you play, the less reverb you get. I mean, that is very, very cool.
Yeah. Did you see a price point on these?
$299.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's pretty aggressive.
Yeah,
well, it's not, that's not a cheap pedal, but like, also, it's game changer. It could have been £500 a unit, you know, and we'd be like, oh yeah, it's fine.
And you know, they're making themselves again in their sort of science lab in Latvia. So yeah. I just think again, it's interesting. You know, they've done synth stuff. They're doing lots of different things, and it's just a pedal not done by the sort of. It's not anything else. Yeah, and I think that's great. I think it's just them, again, thinking outside of the box. So, I'd be really keen to try it, patch them together, because obviously you could send one source from one pedal into another as well. You can patch them, all three of them together, which I think is very, very cool. They can control each other. I think getting all three will allow you to create some sort of like crazy patches. So I think it'd be a cool thing to have in a studio, and I think for synth players as well.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Certainly people into Euro rack, this is going to become a big thing as well. And it's going to be more kind of intuitive to those people because they're used to kind of patching those things already.
Yeah, I guess so. It feels a little foreign to me. I'm very glad that they've got sort of simple explanations of how things work on there.
Us guitarists know nothing. But yeah, very, very cool. Would like to see more. And probably about time we had the Game Changer friends back on the podcast at some point, really.
Absolutely, we should certainly do that. They're such a lovely bunch. I'll give them a shout and we can talk to them about these mod pedals a little bit later in the year, because they're very cool. Certainly maybe when some more information is out and about and some better demos and we know a bit more. But we should do that. Now, moving on from that, do you want to stick with pedals or move on to guitars?
Shall we do a guitar?
Let's do a guitar. So where do we go from here? Why don't we talk about... why don't we talk about your friend and mine, Rabir Massad, and his finally, after a long time, his new signature model from Music Man.
I think more than anything, I'm just so proud of what B has managed to achieve.
Yeah,
you know, it's amazing, really. And, you know, I've been working with Rabir and been a friend of his now for sort of 7-8 years, you know, since I started working at Roland, and we started doing stuff on, you know, various demos and whatnot. And to see everything he's done and to move from Chapman last year and then obviously announce the Music Man thing, might have even been longer than that. I think it might have been 2022, maybe.
It feels like a long time that this Music Man guitar has been coming.
So, and you know, he's, if you follow his channel, he's been posting stuff about other guitars that he's been playing. And, you know, this new signature model, I just think is, you know, if you know B, you know he's playing, this thing's just going to be awesome. So his signature model is based off the Music Man Saber. Which is a standard model they have already, but he's made
some... It's kind of their Strat, isn't it, the Saber?
Yeah. So they've made some specific changes for Rabir based on his playing style, what he wanted. So, you know, you've got bare knuckle, his signature bare knuckle silo pickups. They've got a different forearm curve to the top, a custom neck profile with enhanced upper access, a modified bridge. So the bridge on the Saber is normally quite big. This one's a lot smaller, steel trem, coil splits, and then two of just... He's done such a good job of two amazing finishes that basically it would be impossible to pick between the two. So they do Vile Blood is the first color, just kind of like a dark reddish.
It's a birthday listener with like, a lot of that, a lot of that. What is the finish? It's not burled.
It's flame. That's like there a flame maple, yeah. And then the other one is Frenzied Flame. I think probably, and I'll see Rabir this week, I think they're both Dark Souls references for anyone who's a computer game fan.
What is that? Is that a game?
It is a game. It's a game that Rabir really likes. We've talked about it. We've talked about it before. But I think, as Rabir said in his own words, he felt like the Saber was the most me-shaped guitar and just really wanted to adopt it to his own tastes. And I think
he's gone for a really chunky neck, which I liked. I was like, I saw him the other day in Brighton Electric. Polymath have been there writing a record, and of course he has a residency there. And we were chatting about his new guitar, and he was talking to me about it, and I was like, oh, I don't like anything you're saying. Like, you know, telling me about the flame tops, and I was and like the black hardware, and I was like, oh, I kind of like the Saber, like, you know, as it is, the normal one. It's sort of a cool classic guitar. It feels like you've made it all modern. And then he told me about the neck, and he's put, it's a proper big, thick, deep, you know, Tele-esque neck. And I was like, oh, that's the saving grace for me, is that this guitar does not look how I like guitars to look, but I bet it feels absolutely brilliant to play.
Well, I think this is the thing, you know, we've been talking about Music Man for the last 6 years, you know, it's always been
the most popular brands on Guitar Nerds, definitely.
I think it's our brand, you know, in some ways, certainly my brand, my favorite guitar. And, you know, when I saw this, especially the Vile Blood one, which has got the ebony fingerboard, I was like, oh man, like that just looks like such an awesome guitar.
Guitar Nerds is sponsored by iZotope and Native Instruments, two companies who provide the bulk of the recording and editing tools used by Guitar Nerds. If you have a home studio, or if you're thinking about getting into demo recording from home, then iZotope and Native Instruments provide the tools that you need to make premium quality recordings with ease and with virtually no equipment other than your guitar and laptop. iZotope make all the voice editing and audio repair tools that I use for the podcast each week, and Native Instruments Guitar Rig 7 is one of the best, most comprehensive collections of virtual effects and guitar amplifiers available anywhere. Use discount code NERDS10 on any product in the iZotope and Native Instruments catalog for 10% off their fantastic range of tools.
So I think they're coming soon. I don't think anyone's actually listing the full details. I think they're coming this year. They're not limited, but obviously, like a lot of their signatures, will just sort of be part of the range and will sort of exist.
Of course, that seems to be how they work, doesn't it? That's something we've spoken about quite a lot, about the Petrucci model and how they always have to make sure they're adjusting it to, they want to make sure all of their signature models are exactly as the artist plays them. So there's none of this how, you know, Fender might release a Squire version of a of an artist's signature model, or, you know, I don't know, you have something like the Tom DeLonge Strat, the Fender Strat that comes out that isn't even the guitar he plays anymore. this very much Music Man, the guitars that they make in their factory are the guitars that those artists take on stage.
Yeah.
Which is just, it seems, that seems like such a simple, basic thing to do, because it feels a bit disingenuous of brands to be like, here's the signature model. It's got nothing to do with the artist, but you'll lap it up anyway.
Yeah.
That seems, I think, you know, I find it a little bit like that when Fender do those things. And I love Fender more than any other brand. But,
you know, if you look at any Music Man artist, they almost only play those Music Man guitars.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's the great thing, is because they just, they believe in them so much. You know, if you look at Petrucci, if you look at St. Vincent, if you look at James Valentine, you know, they're the guitars they play. And they're the only guitars they're ever seen playing. I mean, even, you know, Omar, you know, I'm sure they don't sell as many Omars as they sell John Petrucci guitars. And I'm sure they probably won't sell as many Rabir guitars as they sell Petrucci guitars. But I think it's great that they are sort of honoring good artists, letting them do what they want and making guitar they want to play. It says, one thing I'm reading here, that Sterling models are expected to be announced soon. And as listeners, long-time listeners of the podcast will know, if it's anything like the other Sterling guitars they've done, it will probably be too good. No doubt we'll be raving about that. But I think this guitar for me is potentially one of the sort of gear of the year contenders, just because I love Music Man. I think they look great. I think it's great that it's Rabir. You know, to have a, to be able to say a friend is a Music Man artist is pretty, it's pretty nuts. I think they're probably going to come out at about $3,500.
Probably. I think that's
even going to be a chunk of money. You know, so much money. And I was like, yeah, man, but I think people love you. And
to me as well.
You know, people love him. And and so they should. And I think they'll sell a few. But I think if if they do make a Sterling one, I think
I mean, Sterling actually had a banger of a NAM as well, just with new releases. In fact, one thing, you know, you know, the Joe Dart signature Music Man.
We've
spoken about that bunch. They've got a load of them now. There's a third one that's like a precision style. So they've done a Jazz, a Stingray, and a precision, essentially. They're always passive, always just maple wood with that one large volume knob and no tone options. That's kind of always the deal with Joe Dart. They've just released the Sterling SB14, which is not a Joe Dart signature model, but Joe Dart, take them to court. This is they have made your model. It's literally, it's like plain alder, maple neck, like no frills, passive, like passive Music Man humbucker in white, which is, you know, what he's done on all of his models. And it's just a, you know, just volume and tone. Dead simple Sterling bass, but you know, and this is the Sterling bass as well as Sterling the brand, dear listener. If you know, like, Sterling is a body shape as well as the name of the brand. So this is the Sterling, I guess. really, really cool. Just a really solid, really solid NAM for them. They released like some gorgeous like maple cap Stingrays as well in the Sterling line, and Sterling, I kind of feel like, Matt, when we were when like 10 years ago, Sterling just made very, very cheap guitars, right?
Yes.
It was just like £300-400, and they were fine. It was like they were the same body shapes, but they weren't, you know, they weren't, they would just, do you like the body shape but not care about the guitar? Then here it is. Whereas now you look at, like, the Sterling Ray 34s are £1,000. You know, that's not to be sniffed at a price point. And they're really good. They're spec-wise, they are all singing, all dancing, very well made, really great guitars.
We should also say that no NAM would be complete without new John Petrucci colours.
Did they do new John Petrucci?
Of course. So basically, the John Petrucci Majesty Signature Guitar Collection gets an extensive makeover this year. So 5 new Majesty finishes in 6, 7, and 8 string configurations. They'll also be offering Maple Top John Petrucci Majesty Ball Family Reserves in both 6 and 7 string configurations in 3 wow. different finishes. So you've got black frosting, which is a very cool sort of like all black. You've got Her Majesty's Request, which is like all white. Blue Silk, which is blue with the kind of flame center. Gravity Green and Oxblood. And then, some crazy flame finishes as well. I think one of them, he was like, I want it to be like Northern Lights in a finish.
Sounds so tasteless.
Again, I always think they could sort of come out of the gate. But one thing that I haven't seen many people talk about, they did have a big thing at the booth though, which is their new custom design experience. Right. So an all new Ernie Ball Music Man custom design experience will allow customers to design and build unique Stingray bass guitars in both right and left-handed 4 and 5 string configurations. So
I bet that's expensive.
I guess that's coming soon too. But just my favorite brand. Just love it. Just love Music Man. I'd buy more Music Man guitars if I had the money. I'd definitely be buying a Rebir signature if I could afford it. But I can't. So
I see.
Let's move on.
Okay. Well, yes. Go on then. Let's move on. Let's keep it on guitars though, because we have to. We can't not talk about this. Was quite a hot subject on the Guitar Nerds group on Facebook. Dear listener, if you're not there, join there. If you've still got a Facebook account, who has a Facebook account anymore? But if you do still have one, join the Guitar Nerds group on Facebook. Yamaha. Let's talk about the expensive. Pacifica.
I'm not on Facebook, Joe, but is it a love or a hate? Is it a Marmite thing?
I think it's quite Marmite. I think shock is, and I don't mean shock in either way. Like, you know, you can be shocked by pouring a pan full of boiling water over yourself, and you can be shocked by, I don't know, seeing your partner in a leather. Well, I don't know where I'm going there. Right, okay.
That's enough, Joe. That's enough.
You can be shocked either way, and the Pacifica is exactly that.
Yeah. So we've got 2, believe it or not, Pacifica, one of the ultimate guitars. Just bang for your buck. Just absolutely just the best. They're just great. You know, they really, really are. But I don't think anyone would have expected the Yamaha Professional and the Yamaha Standard Plus. So the Yamaha, if I get this right, the Yamaha Professional is custom shop. That's their really expensive one. And then the Standard Plus is the sort of more high-end one, but not the crazy money one. I'll have to just quickly double-check that before I sort of
I don't know
totally
either.
Wrong. But, Joe, they've done a pink one, so of course we have to talk about it.
They've done a pink one. So the Pacifica, if you don't know, dear listener, is their S-style guitar. Yamaha seem to have looked at what companies like, Charvel, I appreciate it, owned by Fender, but companies like Charvel, companies like Ibanez have been doing over the last 3 years with the success of the AZ and the DK24 series, and they've gone, we were making Strat type guitars years before them. So they have rejuvenated the Pacifica to have some very similar finishes to things like especially the AZ series. I think they've done, you know, those weird sort of tropical bursts. They've done a shell pink, and they've done that HSS where you get a gorgeous nickel cover on the humbucker in the bridge. Yeah. The bridges look fantastic, very robust.
These were designed in conjunction with the custom shop in Calabasas, I think.
Right.
As well, which is where a lot of that sort of design comes from. I know when we were there. Yeah, I know when we were there, they were you know, that custom shop's incredible. So I obviously put a lot of work in on these. But I've just double checked, Joe. So they've got a standard plus, which is £10.99 English pounds.
And is that then the pink one? The standard
plus. Pink one. So the standard plus comes in pink, ash pink in maple or rosewood, black in rosewood, sparkle blue in rosewood. In fact, they all come in both finishes. So you've got ash pink, black, sparkle blue, shell white. And then in the professional, which those ones are made in Japan, they're $18.79. They also come in black, desert burst, beach blue burst, blue sparkle, and shell white.
Don't they do a sunburst?
Yes, desert burst is what.
Oh, that's what they're calling desert burst, right?
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, I watched quite a few demos on these. They had obviously Jay Leno, Jay, amazing player, and super nice.
I loved him.
Oh, just the most tasteful, just best player ever. I've never seen
very him. Like tiny aside, because we need to stick on this. When I do some work for KMA Machines, the German effects pedal company, Jay Leno, Jay also does those things, and he does a lot of their videos. And recently, like, they released a couple of products this year, and I do all the Instagram videos, that's fine, but Jay Leonard Jay does the proper YouTube videos with all the playing, and obviously he is just an incredibly tasteful player. And for the last two products, he was away on tour, and KMA were like, well, why don't you do them, Joe, instead? It's like, oh,
sure.
Great. I'll just try and imitate Jay Leno Jay's playing, shall I? It was the hardest thing. I mean, my playing's obviously nowhere near, but it's been the hardest thing ever to try and make videos that are anywhere close to how incredibly tasteful and proficient that man is. So,
yeah.
But anyway, sorry. So, yes, Yamaha have got Jay Leno Jay on board to create the videos for these guitars, which is a smart move.
I think, you know, there's a couple of things here that strike me as just awesome and talk to me in a way that not many other guitars talk to me. Aesthetics are inspired by Japanese city pop, and I'm a massive city pop fan. I love it. It's one of the best genres of music ever, and some incredible musicianship in out of Japan in that time period. That's where all those colors come from.
What is
city pop was a genre of music that came out of mainly Tokyo, but Japan as a whole in the kind of 70s and 80s. Very sort of aesthetically kind of like LA beach tone, and it's very upbeat kind of funk, pop, rock.
Right. Okay.
Kind of synth heavy, but just incredible session musicianship.
Is it like white flannel suits and wicker shoes sort of thing?
Yeah, kind of. I think what they now class as like what was coming from America at that time, I think the new term is yacht rock.
Yes, that's what I would call it, yeah.
And of course, you know, Yamaha, also based in Hamamatsu, which is where Roland are also based.
Ever have, like, you know, like street fights, do you think?
Yeah, it's just like Street Fighter. that's what the background in Japan is. It's just in Hamamatsu. But, you know, stainless steel frets on these, rosewood or maple fingerboards, ghost locking tuners and hardware, compound radius fretboard, contoured body. I just think they've made it amazing, and I'm glad I never bought an Ibanez AZ, because you know, I know
what's
I was talking
not to
about-
like about these. I don't understand. 80 so I you know, I know I said it, I think people were sort of one way or the other, but I saw a lot of people being like, oh, you know, what a ridiculous price for a Pacifica, a Japanese made, you know, S style guitar with this feature spec for £1,800. I don't know what's not to love here. This is very
good. I want the standard plus,
right?
Because to be honest, I would have bought a Pacifica 112V and then spent loads of money modding it, and I'm like, I might as well have a better built one with all the stuff on it already. I know I was talking about the you know, the DGT for gear of the year, but Joe, this, you know, I know I literally just said the Rabir could be the gear of the year, but actually you know, I think
how much,
so much
did you say the plus was?
$10.99.
Wow,
I'll be cashing in my guitar nerds credits, Joe.
That's fine. You can have that. You get a guitar a year, Matt. So that's okay. You can have the that. How, so it's not made in Japan though, right? So it's £1,000 for a Korean.
Plus, I guess these ones are Korean. They don't really say. Okay. But interestingly as well, didn't clock this at first. Reflect tone pickups created in collaboration with Rupert Neve Designs.
Really? Wow, that's very cool.
And choice of three finishes, as I said, they class it as choice of three finishes with a Southern California vibe. I mean, I saw more videos, I think, on this guitar than anything else at NAMM.
Really?
They were really going all in on these. But I was just trying to have a look to see if there was anything on the back of the headstock or anything that kind of gave away where they were made.
Where they're made.
Doesn't look like it. They definitely say the professionals are made in Japan.
Okay. Yeah,
so
I mean, if they're showcasing
these are probably
that, then
Korean.
These are, yeah, they're probably Korean. I think you couldn't, if you know, they couldn't be making them anywhere else for £1,000. Do you know what I mean? Like, if they were Chinese or Indonesian, the price point would have to be very different. So
yeah,
they must be Korean. For £1,000. But
I just think it's a shame they don't do the professional one. In the ash pink.
In the pink.
Unfortunately, the pink is only in the
cheaper one. I mean, you say unfortunately. For the Guitar Nerds budget, I would say I think that's fortunate.
Yes. although I don't know whether I love or hate the Beach Blue Burst. I don't know.
It's terrible. Dear listener, if you're not aware, it is like some sort of peach to blue burst. That's not colours. There are like three acceptable bursts: Sunburst, Silverburst, and Tiga. That's it. Outside of those things, that's
hard boiled in.
Mushroom Burst.
Oh God! But yeah, it's interesting. It's very interesting, and I'm sure, no doubt, a divisive guitar. This year, but they were absolutely everywhere. Fair play for doing it. Be good to get our hands on one and see what they're like.
Yes, absolutely. I'll see what we can do. Now, dear listener, we are coming towards the end of this week's New for NAMM 2024 Part 2 episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. Matt and I are going to be continuing over on patreon.com/guitar nerds. We're going to try and discuss the new Jack White stuff. They've had like a fuzz that you can build and a Donna multi-effects pedal, which is probably the maddest thing that's happened at NAMM. We're going to be talking about the Epiphone Dave Grohl. We're going to be talking about maybe the Positive Grid Spark Live. I think that's a very cool product, and I posted some stuff about that on Guitar Nerds, and it was interesting to get people's feedback. So we'll talk about those things over on Patreon. Do join us, dear listener. You can sign up for as little as $1 a month. The bonus episode comes in at the $5 tier, but do check it out, patreon.com/guitar nerds. Before we go, I'm going to thank all of our top tier, our $10 tier Patreon listeners, because they're absolutely wonderful. They're the reason that Matt and I continue to be able to do this and have been able to do this for 11
Indeed.
Years now. So, thank you very much to Nicholas Strom, to Rocket, Rob Patterson, to Phil Sadler, Marcus Deluxe, Suresh, Dorsonic Pickups, Rob Witherden, Chris Franklin, Anton Fryant, Barry Gresbick, Steve Davis, John Conaway, Russell Healing, Yogi the Guitarist, Ty Allen, Kyle Harris, Sean Hughes, Andy Hoffler, Eric Hemmer, Jeffrey Wax, Dan Pilver, Brian Einsler, Dylan Griffiths, Mark Hizal Kadawaki, Eric File, Peter Peche, Andy Manley, Joe Puttick, Blake Weiland, Phil Radomski, Dave Lee, Ross Edwards, Jason Wharton, James Dorr, Jake Gray, Derek Rich, Scott Kennedy, Steve Merkel, Abe Matthews, Christopher Loseth, Stephen Burke, Robin Smith, Kytopia the Band, JD Short, Andy McKenzie, Brad Page, Rob Nordvik, Scott O'Brien, and of course, Moog Gravit. Now, next week, you're not with us, Matt. I'm going to have JD Short. I don't know why he still pays for Patreon when he's literally one of the hosts now.
Oh, you know, got to pay his way, isn't he?
So that's the only reason I let him on.
Yeah, exactly. Give us the money.
So next week, JD's going to be back on the podcast. Me and JD have been working on some stuff recently, on some a bit more deep divey demo stuff. I think next week we're just going to be talking about a lot of the NAMM stuff. Obviously, I got an Earthquaker Devices Blooms recently, and I kind of wanted to wait to have a bass enthusiast on the podcast to talk about that. So we'll be discussing that next week, along with, JD's been really helping me on my hunt for, I'm 40 this year, dear listener. So I've been hunting for the ultimate 40th birthday present. JD's been helping me with that. So probably going to talk a little bit about that. But yes, Matt, are you back the week after, or have you got 2 weeks off? I can't remember.
I think I've got 2 weeks.
Right, two weeks off.
But we're recording the week after next, but that won't come out for another 3 weeks.
That's true. Well, I will look forward to seeing if in that time you manage to get any of your guitar gear into your house.
Oh, so it's you can start playing again. It's all going to happen, Joe. It's all going to happen. I've got loads of stuff happening at work and at home, but it's going to happen. I've already started. You can't really see it behind me, even if I turn around for listeners. But I have got my amp out. I have got a guitar rack out. I have got space for the pedal board. My pedal board takes up basically the whole room. I'm in a tiny box room. But it's all going to be worth it because I can make as much noise as I want. So Wonderful. There we go.
That sounds great.
Happy days.
Happy days indeed. Well, dear listener, we'll be back next week with more of this guitar nerdery. Farewell.
Goodbye.